Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Wonderful, huh? If this is your first Sunday, you're like, does this happen every Sunday? Yes, we beat the drums every Sunday. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the quiet side of the Holy Spirit. You know, we just had drums, and we have just come out of an amazing season of emphasis of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, let me just walk you through the last 6 weeks. The first week of this Holy Spirit sermon series, we talked about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Then we talked about the gifts of the Spirit and how those are available for us today, God's power tools. Then we talked about the second working of the Holy Spirit after the born-again of Spirit, the experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then Tim Inlow was with us Sunday morning on Mother's Day, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And what a presenter of the working of the Holy Spirit. One of the best, if not the best, how God blessed us. And then last week we talked about the importance of staying filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk, the Bible says, on wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have good news for you. God gives free refills of his Holy Spirit. Amen? I love free refills. And then today, after all of the noise, I want to talk to you about the other side, the quiet side of the Holy Spirit. And that will wrap us up. And then next week we'll have the Memorial Day service, just one service. But some people have been asking about this question, what does the Bible mean when it talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Let me just put you at ease. If you're here today, you have not committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But I will explain it in our prayer service on Wednesday, what that means, what Jesus said, and what that means for us today. So if you come back on Wednesday night, you do not want to miss it. Before we jump into our scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to show you a sign that's in my neighborhood. Can you see this? It says, reward, lost, small black cat named Sissy. With the number 609-313-6494. But I don't know if you can see, this is actually on Hopewell Road, right here in Marlton, from the 7-Eleven almost to Jackson Road, like a 3 or 4 mile stretch right by your house, all the way through. But if you can see it in the top left-hand corner, there's $250, and it's scratched out to $500. And then 2 days ago, hit the next slide, it looks like they had a professional signs made up, and I'm thinking, $500 for a cat? Like, what did this cat do? Swallow a diamond ring? I mean, what is going on? It's in my neighborhood. And you know what? You can leave that up there for a second. I've been walking around the neighborhood going, hey, Sissy, 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 Sissy. Hey, Sissy, Sissy. And as I'm doing it, I'm not feeling very manly with the words coming out. Hey, Sissy, 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 Sissy. I see like some weird guy opening up the curtains. I'm like, I'm out of here. You want to hear something funny? My dad just moved to Ben Salem next by my sister, and his next door neighbor kind of invited my dad in. My dad's making a relationship, and the guy, he paints like nudist pictures of people. I'm like, oh, Dad, you got some soul winning to do right there. True story. And so I'm out there. Hey, Sissy, 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 Sissy. We think we actually saw the cat, but he ran away. I called the man. I said, you know, just to make sure I had it. So our whole neighborhood is looking for it. But did you hear my voice? It changed. I was going, hey, Sissy, Sissy. There are times when God's voice comes to us different. And I want to talk to you about the still small voice. God will sometimes shout to us, shout to the Lord, all the earth. And man, wasn't it great to worship the Lord and to be loud before the Lord and play the drums? But sometimes God wants us on the backside. Matter of fact, let me say this. Most of the time that God will speak to you will not be in the rah-rah in the stadium. It will be with a still small voice. So let me read to you 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 16. I have some homework for you to go home tonight. This is your homework. Because the Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers. And there's some people in the Bible who took God's word more seriously, what the Apostle Paul talked about. And they went home. And so if you would go to 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19 and read that for yourself, you would do well for yourself to grow and not just be a hearer of the word of God. But this story is one of the great stories of the Bible, Elijah on Mount Carmel. You remember, there's kind of like this big, like, division. If God's God, serve him. If he's not, and the people who decide to worship Baal, Elijah said this, put a sacrifice on the altar, and whosoever God, fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, that would be the God. So the people who worship Baal, the false god, they danced around, they shouted, and nothing happened. They began to slit their wrists, and still nothing happened. But Elijah, the man of God, he says this. He goes, fill this whole area with water. Douse the altar with water and fill the troughs all around it. And a miracle took place. Fire from heaven came and licked up the whole sacrifice. And God was proven faithful in his goodness and his power. But I just want to tell you this. This backside of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when God uses you, sometimes when you've been on the mountain, you have to come down off the mountain. And this is a very dangerous time for you. And it was for Elijah. He was exhausted. He was tired. He wanted to quit. He actually asked, I want to die. And I want to talk to you how God, by his Holy Spirit, will lift you up and restore you with the still small voice by the Holy Spirit in your life. Does that sound good? 1 Kings chapter 19. It better sound good. It's our only option right now. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. She wanted to kill him. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. Has anyone ever been there before? You're just tired. You've had enough. I'm done. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. That's where the TV show Touched by an Angel came from that right there. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. That's where God ministered to Moses and gave the commandments. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. The Lord appeared to Elijah, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But notice this, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper or a still small voice. I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit and the small or the tender side of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been disappointed, discouraged, afraid, ministry didn't go the way you wanted to go, you want to quit, you might even say, I want to die, I'm ready to jump off this boat. You say, well, what did God do for Elijah? Or what does God do for people who are down, discouraged, tired, exhausted, maybe even poor? What is God's way by his Spirit in our lives like it was in Elijah? The first is really simple. It's practical. He provided food. Ladies, wouldn't it be great if the angel was home right now putting a crock pot on for you and for your family? That's exactly what God did through the angel for Elijah. Notice what it says in verse 5 through 6. He says, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. This doesn't sound very spiritual, but the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you eat, it actually helps you. Or maybe we could go one step farther. When you eat healthy, it makes you feel better. Sometimes your spiritual life is connected to your physical life. If your body is always weighed down, and listen, this is not a good time for me to actually preach this message. I am 15 pounds overweight. But I can tell you this, that when I exercise and when I eat healthy, I feel better. And sometimes that even leads into more of a spiritual life, right? It helps you to focus. Like Sean and Aza said, everyone lift up hands. And you're like, I'm so exhausted. I lift up hands. I want to tell you, sometimes just eating the right food will be a blessing to you. It's the first thing that God told Elijah. Now, we have some heroes in this church. I think they're in the sanctuary. I want to show you a picture of Jared, our head maintenance guy, in our church. Jared, are you here? I don't mean to embarrass you, but in a minute, we're going to have you come up here. When I came to this church 8-9 years ago, Jared weighed 500 pounds. This is a real picture. He's sitting right over here. In a minute, he's going to come up here and take his shirt off. No, I'm just joking. That'd be awkward. But I said, Jared, can I just show like a before and after picture? Obviously, that's Jared right now. Jared went down from 500 pounds to 226. That's amazing. Does any of us feel convicted? Like, I'm trying to lose like 5. Jared's put, I think he's back up to 274, if I have that right, 270, because he's been lifting. Jared, can I embarrass you? Come on up here. I think people need to see you. This is absolutely amazing. Come on up. Is that incredible? Turn around. And you turn my sorrow. Is that, Jared, obviously you feel better. I watched Jared like walk around here. He is one of the most delightful people. He fixes things. He makes sure every service is cleaned. Everything's dusted, ready to go. Anything around the church, he's Pastor Rich's like go-to guy. All because he began to eat better, right? You won the victory at the table. I can't tell him, but can you tell him to do it? All right, one more hand clap, Jared. I'm proud of you, man. Really proud of you. I don't mean to embarrass him, but I want to show you another guy in our church. His name's Pablo. Look at that. Pablo, come up real quick. This is like amazing. Two guys in one church. We should all like write a book and get rich off these two guys. Pablo, I didn't mean to embarrass you. How much did you used to weigh? Like that picture right there.
Almost 300 pounds.
300. And what are you now?
I'm about 210.
So that's 90 pounds. That's incredible. And so if you're his social, yeah, there you go. That's incredible. So if you're his social media guy, you can see that he's like working out every morning. He's trying to inspire people. Like eating healthy actually makes you feel better. It even helps you participate better in a worship service, right? So he obviously eats really well, and then he exercises. What do you all have to say to yourself? Say something.
You said you wouldn't embarrass me.
Well, I felt led to embarrass you.
I think the thing that helped me really get started was that I wanted to be better in all areas of my life, and I wanted to be a better Christian, a better husband, a better father. I wasn't a father yet when I was that big, but I knew I wanted to be, and I felt like that was the biggest obstacle for me to be able to do that. So
like, obviously I'm tying in a biblical story, but you could even understand why God would say, take care of yourself and eat right. If God's trying to restore somebody, that might be your starting spot. Mm-hmm. Thanks, brother. Yeah. All right. Where's Joel? Did Joel leave? Joel, where's Joel? Is your dad in here? Joel's dad is the athletic director of Houghton College for the last 30 years. He teaches like sports and stuff. When I was in college, at halftime, my coach used to put soda in the opposing team's locker room meanwhile, we were drinking Gatorade and oranges. Soda breaks down the muscles of the other people. I didn't realize this was a joke. So when we would go to like other teams, there'd be candy bars out there and gummy worms. Each of the coaches was trying to get the athletes to take in stuff that would hurt them on the basketball court. I just want to tell you, the first thing when God was trying to restore Elijah was first he looked at his physical need of what he ate. And then, you know, some of you older people, I don't mean to be harsh, but like if you're not moving around, you actually have to move, like take a walk. You gotta keep it going a little bit. You gotta keep that blood going. But let me just say this. It's also younger people. You know what younger people are doing now? Video games. And so even the National Football League, you know what they're saying? 60 minutes a day. Get outside. Go take a walk. Play football again. Play wiffle ball again. Because it helps your spiritual life to grow and to grow strong. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but he does go with bread. And too much bread is too many calories. And so you have to watch what you do. That's part of the restoration process. Number two, the second thing that happened was God gave him sleep. Verse 6. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, notice this, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave. You know what happens? He took another nap. I want to tell you something here at Marlton Assembly of God. Sundays are the day to take naps. Somebody say amen. Amen. On a day like this, when it's raining, best day in the whole world to take a nap. You crack the window open, you get a big comforter, and you just go to sleep. My wife and I disobeyed the Lord our first couple years. We were young. I was married when I was 21. We bought a house before we got married. We renovated houses. We worked our fingers to the bone. My wife is an incredible leader. We just worked hard to get ahead in life when we were young. But we disobeyed the Lord by not taking a day off. And it caught up to us. We would get exhausted and tired. The second thing that Elijah was told by God to do is, I want you to take a rest. Some people in this room, you don't sleep enough. Teenagers, you sleep too much. But I meet people like all the time. What time you go to bed? 2 o'clock? What time you wake up? 4 o'clock? Not enough rest. Some people go to bed with the TV on. You don't think that messes with you, but the last thing you're doing, you're watching late shows, dirty jokes, or just whatever. Or you go to bed with like earphones on, and you have all like the social stuff going on. Or even you go to bed with your cell phone on, so somebody texts you and it lights up the room, and you don't sleep well. You say, John, spiritually, when you sleep, does that actually help you? The answer is absolutely yes. 6 days a man should work, and on the seventh day he should rest. So today is not my day of rest. I have stuff I have to do. I have to go to a wedding tonight. Today I'm going to get rest? No. I'm going to minister. I'm going to love people. It's not my day of rest. Thursday is my day off. So 6 days a week, but on that day, it restores me and it builds me up. It helps me. Now, I just need to tell you something very practical. 4 years ago, my wife and I invested in a king-size bed. Somebody say amen. Amen. We went down to Sleepy's. They're the mattress professionals, and they do it right. It's important that you hear this. This is in the Bible. Trust Sleepy's for the rest of your life. So we invested. I did not know how much a bed cost. I did not know you were going to need to take out a second mortgage on your house. $79,000 for a king-size bed. I'm just joking. But you know what? That has been the best investment we've ever made. My wife and I, we don't invest money in alcohol, tobacco. We don't waste any money. But to have a good bed that you could sleep in, it's the most wonderful thing. I love Jesus, but after that, even before my kids, I love a good night's sleep. We have a king-size bed. Now, can I just be honest with you about something? My wife has cold feet. And you know what she does? She does this, watch. And puts it on my leg, her cold foot. And you know what she says to me, ladies? If you love me, you'll let me keep it there. That wasn't part of... When we said our vows, that was not part of the deal. Ladies, you're not allowed to do that. Matter of fact, that's of the devil. Cold feet is of the devil. Put your onesie on, whatever you have to do, but don't move that leg over there. That's the reason why we got a king bed, so you can be way over there. That's not a big deal, but I'm telling you, it doesn't sound very spiritual, but when the Lord asked me to get up at 5 or 6 o'clock, and I haven't slept well, I'm miserable. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Sleeping is part of God's plan for your life. And when God restores you, sometimes he just speaks to you in very practical ways. Remember, he's used on a very high spiritual level. And you can't live on the high spiritual level forever. And by the way, I believe that we should speak in tongues. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in miracles. If you're in a wheelchair, go. Come on, we need miracles. Amen? But just generally, when God restores you, he restores you practically. You're not eating well? Listen. You're going through the drive-thru every day and you're eating bad. It's just not going to make you feel good. And maybe you just need a good night's rest. Anybody? Amen? You need a good night's rest. Some of you are exhausted. You're totally wiped out. It doesn't sound very spiritual. Like, that's in the Bible. It's absolutely in the Bible. You say, John, do you get tired? Do you get discouraged? Do you get depressed? Like, yes, like all the time. I do. It's just kind of part of it. But when you lay down, you get a good night's sleep and you kind of just start to... Is anybody ready for the rain to stop? Like, you wake, people are like, no, then you come to an altar. You're messing it up for all of us. We're praying one way, you're praying a different way. The third thing that God said, or God did, was give encouragement to Elijah. And it's found in verse 7 through 9. Notice this. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Listen to this. What he was saying is this, your journey's not over. You don't die, don't give up. Remember, he said he wanted to die. Listen, your journey's going to happen, and I'm going to help you to get where you need to go. That's a message for somebody in this room. God has not said it's over for you. I don't care how old you are. He's given you breath. He still has something for you to do. And he's going to help you. He's going to show you. It could be today that God gives you a word, an idea, a thought. The Bible says in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit on young men and old people. And God's not done with people. We don't throw people away. We just don't kick people to the curb. Even if people are hurting physically or something in their life, God is still you. God wants to work in people's lives, and the journey is not over. I have a word for you, everyone in this room. You might have felt like quitting and dying. You might even considered suicide. You said, John, nothing's working. And God comes with a word of encouragement. Your life's not over. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to give you a word, and I'm going to move you on to what God has called you to go on. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. You know, sometimes God just needs to get a hold of us to kind of help us to understand. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to help you move forward. Some of you need encouragement today. God wants to encourage your soul. And then finally, number 4. Isolation. God gets you alone with himself. You say, what do you mean? Notice. So he got up and they drank, verse 9, then he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord appears to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord. I've come to church. I've paid my tithe. I come to an altar. I'm serving God. I'm believing for my kids, their salvation. I serve at the door. I hold open doors for people. I give people coffee and calories at the cafe. I do all this stuff, Lord. I've been very zealous for the Lord, but things haven't gone the way I wanted them to go. There hasn't been revival. Jezebel's trying to kill me. I worked hard in ministry. I'm trying to do the right thing. It still hasn't worked out. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. Oh, stay with me. I've memorized everything but that. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. He says, you by yourself, I want you to go, and I'm going to minister to you. There are some times where God just gets you alone. There's some young people in the room. If you're a guy, you always have to have a girlfriend. You just need somebody. Or you're a girl, you always have to have a boyfriend. It's like you always have to. If not, you don't know what to do with yourself. Or some of you just, you need a best friend. And so you wake up, you're on social media, you go to bed on social media. Your world is so filled with so much noise, no one can ever slow you down. But when God wants to touch you, sometimes he gets you all alone with him so he can minister to your heart and your life. Today you could be by yourself in some way. You might be sitting here, you might feel lonely, but also it could be an opportunity for God to speak to your heart. Because what was going to happen to Elijah would be life-changing and encouraging. Instead of dying and quitting, he's going to be restored to health. And this is going to be better than rest. This is a supernatural touch from God. I don't know, does anyone else ever struggle with vacations? When I go on vacation, I come home, I'm more tired from being on vacation. I'm on vacation, I'm spending way too much money, and I come home, I'm like, I just wish I could sleep in my own bed. So just because you go on vacation, you rest up, some of you are going to go to the shore. We won't see you to October. And then you come back, you're not happy, you're not miserable. Why is that? Because what God does, he isolates us so we could be with him. And this is what the story talks about in verse 11 through 12. He said this, the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. Could you imagine? And shattered the rocks before the Lord. But notice this. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And the earthquake came and a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire came, a gentle whisper. God oftentimes doesn't come through wind, earthquakes, and fires. In our Christian charismatic work, sometimes we go to rallies or conferences, or we watch TV or celebrity preachers, but that's generally not how God speaks to you. Those things are good, and I like it. I like the noise. Boy, I like the young people. I like it. I like singing loud to the Lord. But generally, that's not how God does. And there's people, and I've even heard people in our church say, Pastor, I'm not moving forward until God comes in a wind or fire, or say, I need a sign. I'm going to put a fleece out there. I'm not doing anything until God does it. And sometimes you listen to Joyce Meyer and say, I need a word. Sometimes for you, it's not Joyce Meyer. Or you like Joseph Prince. You're like, you get your word from Joseph Prince. Or Pastor John. You know, I just lump myself in with the big guys, you know. And you watch. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Christian TV. But generally, God doesn't speak to you through celebrity. He speaks to you by his still, small voice. We like to be hyped. We like entertainment, but Zechariah 4:6 says this, tell us what the work of the Lord is, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Listen to this. God is not confined to a single manner of communicating with people. He speaks to us in a variety of ways. The key part is that God speaks and we obey. However God chooses to speak to you, say, well, Pastor, how does God speak to us? In 2016, the primary way God speaks to us in 2016 is through his word. This word has everything you need for spiritual and emotional health. The drugs of the suburbs are the pharmacy. You're rich enough, you could build a relationship with a doctor, and he'll write you anything you want. That's your emotional drug. But if you'll go to the Lord and his word, God will speak to you. Bless your heart and stabilize your life. Gary Blanchard, the former pastor of Marlton Assembly of God, says this, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. What is Satan's greatest tool? Not sin, because we know that God forgives. Not depression. He knows God is the source of all joy. Not weakness or poverty, because God is the provider. The greatest tool for the devil is ignorance of God's word for your life. When you walk away from God's word, you do not hear God's word. If you're not in the Bible, you're not hearing from God's word. You say, well, John, I walked outside. I know there's a creator. That's true. But the primary way that God speaks to people today in America and around the world is by the word of God. Listen, I don't care how young or old you are, but you need a daily dose of God's word in your life. I got up, I got busy today, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, whoa, slow down before you go preach it. I just read Psalm chapter 23 real slow. You could do ministry, you could do great things, but if you're not in the word replenishing your own soul, it doesn't help. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this, long ago and many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. What I'm doing right now in my own devotional life, I'm reading through the Old Testament from Genesis all the way to Malachi. And as I was kind of getting ready and I heard this scripture, I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke. He said, I want you to read the words of Jesus every day too. Remember Jesus said, if you'll abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll produce much fruit. So I'm reading through. Right now I'm on Psalm 100 and I think it's 12. I'm just reading through the Old Testament little by little, trying to apply it in my life. But I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, you need to listen to my Son's words in your life to grow. I'm here to tell you, the Lord still speaks. The question is, are we listening? Some of you are looking for the wind and for miracles and earthquakes, and you just need to be hyped your whole life. Pastor John, he fills my soul. But then we're unfaithful. We don't even come to church. Oh, church on Wednesday? No, no, no. You need to be here Sunday, Wednesday. You need to keep growing. God speaks to us primarily through his word. Sometimes he speaks through pastors and evangelists, but primarily he speaks to us by the still small voice as you're reading the scripture in your life. I just want to encourage you. Just say, God, speak to me by myself so I can grow strong. Listen to this. Our Heavenly Father generally uses that which is soft, tender, gentle, quiet, calm, and peaceful. Now, this church, we went through a hard time about 6-7 years ago. I had people leave our church in tens. We lost about 200 or 300 people in about 4 or 5 months. I kept looking like, how many more people can we lose? Some of you generous people came in at the exact same time. We never actually went down below the equator as far as attendance, but we lost people. I actually had deacons come stand next to me and make sure I was okay. People look at me and say, Pastor, you're going to be a great pastor here, but we're out. And I was like, oh, Lord, we're in trouble. I grabbed my wife. I said, did we make a mistake coming here? No, we didn't. We didn't think that. We're very curious to see how God's going to work this all out. Even right now, when I say multicultural, multigenerational, it's actually happening right now. I mean, God's developing a great congregation. Yeah, you can do that. But one of the things that God did for us, which was very unique, he allowed us to have Christian concerts. Does anyone remember that about 5 or 6 years ago? We had Toby Mac come to Cherokee High School. Toby Mac could fill out like 15, 20,000 people, and he did our own private for 1,500 people at Cherokee High School. I mean, I was down there in the mosh pit with the young people. I was singing. I was loving it. Listen, when you need momentum, you get it wherever you can. If you lose your way, you get back up again. It's never too late to get back up again. I was like on the front row. I was like, yes, God's given us momentum. I was pumped up. On Sunday morning, I was discouraged. On Sunday night at Cherokee, I was on cloud nine. But do you know, statistically, people generally don't give their hearts to the Lord at Christian concerts. They're great. They're energizing. And for a pastor, anytime, and it's a leadership thing too, anytime you can get momentum, you go with it. You're selling houses, sell them, because you never know when the market's going to drop out. Make as much money as you can. If things are going good, you keep that momentum. Ride momentum. But I know, and you know, you don't go from mountaintop to mountaintop. Sometimes you go down here and you learn lessons down there. But we had momentum. We were having fun. Remember we had Jeremy Camp lead worship Sunday morning? He got muscles like bulging out. Like, we shall overcome. And all the girls like, yes. Yes, we should. We should overcome. Remember Jeremy Camp did a concert for us? Paul Beloche led worship and he did a concert for us. Brandon Heath led worship for us. I mean, it was incredible. We had all this momentum. I mean, God was giving it to us. And we had professional athletes come to church. It was almost like God saying, I'm saving the day. I'm helping you. I'm going to encourage you. He's given us all this momentum, but here's the reality. People generally don't give their hearts to the Lord at concerts. Generally, people don't hear the still small voice at concerts. You hear Toby Mac. I did it. If you lose your way, you just get back up again. I love that. But generally, that's not how God speaks to you. He doesn't speak to you at concerts. You say, yeah, but Hillsong came to Camden last month, and it was great. I love Hillsong. I think it's great that you go. Bring a friend. But generally, God doesn't speak to you in big places. Generally, God speaks to you in the stillness of the still small voice. He's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. He's just here. He just speaks to you in the car when you're driving. Ladies, you're just putting a wash in there. You're cleaning. You're vacuuming, men. You're mowing the lawn. You got your thing on there. You got your socks from Sunday, your wingtips. You got out there. You're weird. You're just raw. And God speaks to you. See, how does God speak to us? In the still, small voice. And I believe this morning. Even if you've been on the mountaintop, there's people here that's discouraged and down, and God wants to restore you. Practically, you need to eat. You need to sleep. But he has a word for you. He wants to restore you and lift you up. He says, listen, you're not done. I love you, and I care about you. My hand's been on your life, even after you're messed up. I know you sinned, but my son Jesus took away that sin. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Young people, don't believe the lie. God has a plan for you. He's going to take you farther than you ever wanted to go. He's going to give you friends and doors of opportunity. He's going to bless and help you. You say, how do you know? Because the still small voice speaks to your heart. God is still alive. He's still speaking. The real question is this. Are you listening to his voice? I'm here to tell you, if you listen, he will come. Sinners generally respond to the still small voice. You know who had the most impact? Billy Graham. They'd have music, it prepared the hearts, then the preaching, and then the still small voice, come as you are. And Jesus says, come, follow me. And you're here this morning, we've had fun. The Holy Spirit's just speaking to you. Would you just trust my son Jesus? He died on the cross to take away your sins, and would you give your life? And he's just speaking to you truth. Don't need to hype you. Don't need the lights to wow you. Matter of fact, we can't even keep up with Hollywood. We don't even know, like, Photoshop. We don't even know what's real nowadays. All I'm telling you is God will work by his Spirit in your life, and moms and dads, listen, in your children's life. And if you're a sinner tonight, today, you're not where you need to be with God, you say, Pastor, would Jesus accept me? If you listen to his voice, he'll say, come, follow me, and I'll change your life. He loves you. You say, Pastor, are we Pentecostal? Absolutely. Healing, tongues, prophecy, all of that. But if we don't have love, we're just a resounding gong. The still small voice of God's Spirit working in our life. Can we pray?